There's said to be a steady flow of South African citizens emigrating to other countries for various reasons. The discussion about which can be had on another day. But what are your rights in terms of funds that you can take offshore when you make the move, particularly one's pension, on which there are usually strict rules as to when one can access it? To enlighten us on these rights, I'm joined on the line by Fiona Rollison. She's the Group Head of Legal at Alexander Forbes. Fiona, what is it that a South African citizen or permanent resident must do for the state to officially be aware that you're emigrating?
There's actually an exchange control application that you need to follow if you're going to formally immigrate from South Africa. So what you need to do is contact the South African Reserve Bank, and there's certain processes and procedures that you need to follow, and you officially then will immigrate from South Africa. You can retain your South African citizenship, but from a tax perspective, you will no longer be considered a South African country resident anymore. So immigration is more of a tax issue than a citizenship issue.
Understood.
And that's what people do if they want to immigrate. Some people just relocate for a short time. You know, you may go on secondment for a couple of years, and that's not immigration.
Understood. So what allowances or funds are immigrants allowed to take offshore with them?
If you go the formal immigration route, then in fact you can apply for your assets in South Africa to be repatriated or for them to be moved overseas. And so there is no obvious limit, because different people will have different amounts of money that they need to take overseas.
Yes.
But that's if you follow the immigration route.
What about specifically a person's pension, which ordinarily can't be drawn until the retirement age? What happens with that?
Well, there's a complication, as lawyers always say. It depends, and it depends on what type of fund you are a member of. So if you're a member of a pension and provident fund, and often people are because they are in employment and they're contributing to a pension and provident fund, then if you resign because you're going to immigrate, you can take your full benefit from a pension and provident fund in cash. You will be taxed on it. It was more complicated in the case of a retirement annuity fund, because in a retirement annuity fund, you can only, as you said earlier, get a benefit on retirement or death. And a couple of years ago, the National Treasury actually changed the laws to say that somebody who was going the immigration route would be allowed to access their full retirement annuity amount in cash before they reached retirement age. And so that was quite a good thing for people who were emigrating out of and had money in a retirement annuity fund. The next change is going to happen is actually people who have money in a preservation fund. And with effect from 1 March this year, the law will change and allow people who are immigrating to access their money in a preservation fund if they immigrate.
Right. So what if you're already a pensioner, you're already drawing your pension, but you've decided to follow your children, for example, who've decided to immigrate? What are your rights in that instance?
Unfortunately, you won't be able to access the underlying capital amount of your pension and take it out of the country. In those cases, if you're already receiving a pension from a fund or from an insurer, you will continue to receive the monthly amounts that will be paid to you overseas, but you can't access the underlying capital.
So then it would just be translated into whatever country you're in, the currency thereof?
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So in order to get one's affairs in order to be able to take funds offshore, is it something that one can do as an individual, or would it be more efficient to get the services or the help of a financial service provider to do on your behalf?
This is definitely something, in my view, that you would want to get a financial advisor to assist you with. There's nuances with regard to the tax that will be payable. People need to consider whether it's better to immigrate or simply relocate. And I think you really need to look at each individual's own circumstances. And there's no one-size-fits-all. So a financial advisor is useful. They can tell you what the different options are and what the consequences, especially tax consequences, are of the options. And then you also need to be liaising with your bank, because they can help you with any applications to the South African Reserve Bank as well. So your bank and a financial advisor are the people you would be needing to speak to.
Say, for example, you decide to emigrate, but you still have dependents of sorts, you know, maybe some cousins, aunties, grandparents that you want to continue looking after. Perhaps you have an asset, maybe a property. Are you able to still maintain a bank account in South Africa, even though you've decided to emigrate? And if you are receiving some sort of income, say from property, would that then be subject to tax? And would you be able to disperse that to your beneficiary, so to speak?
Yeah, there is an allowance for the banks can open certain types of bank accounts for non-residents. But there is, it's a different type of bank account, but it is possible to do that. And what you can also do is give a power of attorney to somebody in South Africa if you wanted somebody here to still handle some assets that you left behind in South Africa. And what people do is, if you have assets in South Africa and in another country, you need to think quite carefully about, as you said, with regard to beneficiaries. You know, do you want two separate wills, one for your South African assets and one for your overseas assets? So again, a financial advisor is important in those circumstances, that you make sure you take proper control over the assets in the different countries.
That was Fiona Rollison. She's Group Head of Legal at Alexander Forbes.